Welcome inside the Locked On NFL Draft Podcast. John Ledyard, FanRag Sports, NDT Scouting, Pro Football Weekly, along with Trevor Sycamore of PewterReport.com, who covers the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. More than 24 hours, Trev, but we're almost there. You pulled the all-nighter.
I thought you were going to say 24 hours is how long I've been awake.
Well, that is somewhat correct. You just took the brief nap before we recorded. I was up till 3:30, got up at 7:30. We're in that.
It's draft week, baby.
That's right, baby.
It's draft week.
Tonight we sleep. Tonight we sleep in preparation.
Had to do it for the Pewter Report fam. Had to do it for this the fam of this podcast because today, doing big boards, man.
A freaking had to do it, baby. A freaking
we made
men.
A promise and we had to deliver. So you know what? Sleep could wait.
We are promise keepers on the Locked On NFL Draft Podcast. It's often been said. That's often been said about us. We are going to go through our big boards. Not every single pick because I have like almost 200 guys now. I don't know how many you have, but we're not going to do that to people. But we figured it'd be a good idea to jump on the top 32 guys coming off the board for us anyway and who see who those guys are. So how about 5 and 5? Does that sound good? My top 5, your top 5. And then we just go 5 by 5.
Okay, after that?
Yes. You ready?
Okay, so starting with number one, right?
Starting with number one.
All right. My top 5. Quentin Nelson, 1. Roquan Smith is 2. Derwin James is 3. Bradley Chubb is 4. And Darius Geis is 5. Woo! Those are my top 5 players in the draft.
All right, you ready for this? Quentin Nelson, number 1. Roquan Smith, number 2. Darius Geis, number 3.
Okay.
Josh Rosen, number 4.
Okay.
Bradley Chubb, number 5.
All right.
So we have three of the same top 5. Four.
Derwin missing.
Four of the same top 5. Yeah, I have Derwin missing, and I have Rosen in place of him. So four of our top 5 are the same. And we're probably the only dudes out there with Geis in the top 5. We're going to look so smart in a couple years, dude, when he's awesome. I mean,
he's so good, man.
People post, like, it's funny to me that, and I see it now, that I'm, like, a little bit more, like, pushed back from, like, the bias perspective, or like the group think, I guess, of how to, you know, evaluate anybody really in the draft. You know, I feel like I've kind of been able to finally, 5 years in, distance myself from that a good bit with most players. And it's funny to me looking at Geis's tape and like being like, this guy's going to be a star. Like, he's going to be a star. There, if he doesn't get hurt and, you know, other than the obvious, like, he's going to be a star. Like, there's not any question for me with Darius Geis. Like,
no,
he's a beast. His instincts and everything. But it's funny to me how people will just kind of be like, he runs with power. He's just another power back. Like, he's just another run into people back. That is so not who he is. But you hear people say that and he ends up down like Mayock. He releases board and he's 20th. If there's 27 better players than Darius Geis and injury and character or anything like that isn't the issue,
I don't know what they are. You
somewhere.
Know?
Yeah.
I can't find 20 better players than Darius Geis. I mean,
you can't even project.
I almost had Darius Geis at 4, but I mean, like, I have him at 5 just because I went and rewatched Bradley Chubb a couple of times and I didn't want to be lukewarm on him, and I'm not at all. He's too good, and I think the 4 guys in front of him are fantastic football players, but I think he is a fantastic football player.
Right.
So obviously my RB1 comes in as one of the top 5 players because you're right. You pop in his tape and you go, man, like he's one of the dudes throughout the process, and we'll get to Harold Landry in a second here, where I'm just like, I mean, what are we missing? Okay, like, scouts and teams aren't stupid. Nope. But where do narratives come from? Like, where does all this stuff come from of knocking a guy and having a guy go later than he should? Darius Geis is one of those running backs where when I hear teams talk about him, when I've heard about interest, I'm thinking, like the most I ever hear is, like, late first, like, him being possibly available for, heck, the Eagles at 32 or something. And I'm like,
crazy.
Really? This guy?
You're going to let the third, fourth, or fifth in your situation best player in the draft go to the Super Bowl champs? All right, fam.
Not if it was up to me.
Yeah, don't say we didn't warn you. Who's your next 5?
Okay, next 5. 6, Mick Fitzpatrick. 7 is Harold Landry. 8, Saquon Barkley. 9, Tremaine Edmonds. And 10, Josh Rosen.
Oh my goodness. You're the only person I know of that is lower than me on Saquon Barkley, other than Ben Albright, who wouldn't draft Saquon Barkley.
Wait, I'm sorry,
no,
what?
I'm just kidding. He said he wouldn't draft him in the first round.
I was about to call Ben on the show right now.
He said he wouldn't draft him first round, though, so basically he's off your board then.
Who, him?
Yeah, Barkley.
Yeah, that's a...
That's wild talk right there. But I like it. I respect it because there's literal concerns there. I just don't have that. I don't have those kind of balls. I'm just going to be straight up honest. I don't have it. Harold Landry's number six for me. I think he's a beast. So you were what, seven on Harold Landry?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. I'm seven on Saquon Barkley. So you were eight on Barkley. So we're right there. Sony Michel is next for me. I actually had a higher tape grade on Michel than Barkley. The combine scores were enough to bump Barkley just slightly ahead of Michel.
Nice.
Kind of broke my heart, but I got to respect the process and the numbers. Maurice Hurst is number nine for me from Michigan. I think he's an absolute animal. And if he falls to day three, which I do not think will happen, by the way, he will be the steal of the draft.
Oh, crazy, man. Crazy talk.
No way it happens. I don't believe it. Micah Fitzpatrick, number 10 for me. I think he is the most versatile safety in the draft, projects to do the most amount of things. You've mentioned it. I think he could potentially play corner if you let him develop there. Immediate impact in the slot. He has ability to play deep as well, single high perhaps even, I think. I think he can just do a lot for a team. High character guy, blitz as well. You know, there's just so many different things he gives you. So he's number 10 for me.
The Harold Landry thing, just to touch on it a little bit, man. I was wondering kind of where to put him in this list. I'm going through my finalized and obviously my positional rankings, and this big board and everything else is going to be out on PeterReport.com. So anybody who wants to look at it, to break it down, it's going to be out there later today when we're doing this podcast, which is Wednesday. Probably bad podcasting for me to say the word today. Harold Landry, I mean, the shades of Von Miller are there, man. Like, I don't know how else to say it. I'm not going to say this guy's going to be Von Miller because obviously you got to go to the right team and the system, and he obviously has to develop in that way. But I'm talking like the shades of it. I posted a couple screenshots last night when I was reading yet again another quote of somebody saying that Harold Landry's overrated, which I don't really understand. And it just shows Harold Landry coming off the – firing off the snap, having insane dip, and then the bend in his ankle, jumping over to get Deshaun Watson. It's like that is just a pass rush move. And you watch the whole rest of that Clemson game. I went back and I just watched the rest of that Clemson game just because. And you see little hints of that move everywhere, almost throughout the entire game. And like, if you're going to tell me, oh, well, he's only a situational guy, that means he's overrated. Dude. Some of the best pass rushers in the NFL are just situational guys. Are you serious? Like, this is what they did. This pass rushing is king. You get a good pass rusher, and it can change your entire defense, man. Landry's
a good run defender. He's not a bad run defender.
He's not.
It's so weird to me. The whole narrative with him, if he isn't the type of player you want as an edge pass rusher, what is? Like, and don't get me wrong, I like Bradley Chubb more. I get, like, Landry's not small. He measured it. He was fine. He was like in the 250s, you know, like,
but like to say that he is like to go out and say that he's obviously like overrated or like not the player we think he is.
What does that
okay
mean?
Well, then show me, because right now I just see a guy who flashes incredible talent as a pass rusher, and right. In your league that you've set up, scouts and managers and all scouts. These people, coaches,
scouts,
this is like the guy that you would want. So I don't know, man. His traits win
in the NFL, so it's bizarre. All right, who's your next five? We haven't had anybody 11, who really disagree
11,
on that.
Nathan Shepard. 12, Denzel Ward.
11, 13, Nathan Shepard, let's go.
13, Isaiah Wynn. 14, Nick Chubb. 15, my boy, Jair Alexander.
Okay, Nathan Shepard for me. I'm trying to find him on the board. Where is he? He is 45th on my board, which I think is still pretty high for consensus.
Nathan Shepard is 11 for me.
But there is the first point in which I would say we differ pretty dramatically. Although I've mentioned Michel and Hurst, and you haven't said their names yet, so we'll see where they come in for you. Number 11 for me is Isaiah Wynn. You said him too. Number 12 for me is Denzel Ward. Number 13 for me is Baker Mayfield. Number 14 for me is Jair Alexander. So we have, and then
so we're number, one off on Jair,
right? 1, 2, 3, 4, and then number 15 for me is Mike McGlinchey. So we again, Isaiah Wynn, Denzel Ward, and Jair all in that same bunch for us. I've mentioned Mayfield and McGlinchey. I don't think you've mentioned either of those guys yet. So we're still pretty close so far.
Yeah, We're decently close. So I think just the order is a little bit different. For me, Maurice Hurst is 16.
Okay, there he is.
Sony Michel is 17. Baker Mayfield is 18. Rashawn Evans is 19. Uh-huh. And Will Hernandez is 20.
Wow, I did not expect someone to be higher on Rashawn than me, but there it is. Well, someone.
I like Rashawn Evans a lot.
Oh my gosh, he's phenomenal. He's
I do. He's awesome. I say in my explanation, and we've said this on the podcast too, man. But just for people who are first listening, don't get linebacker fatigue with Rashawn Evans. I know we've had a lot of Alabama linebackers come through the NFL, and whether you like them or whether you haven't, you're probably just like, oh man, another Alabama linebacker. Right. I gotta evaluate, but Rashawn Evans is great. He plays at a million miles an hour. He can rush the edge, and when he does, he just goes all out for everything.
He's a sledgehammer. That's what he is.
Yeah, I'm a big Rashawn Evans fan. I even say in one of the things that I'm talking about, a lot of the times people just reference Tremaine Edmonds and Roquan Smith when they talk about the two linebackers. I really do think that, though I obviously have those guys higher, both of those guys are in my top 10s. Like, it's a big three, depending on what kind of linebacker
you want. Wait, did you mention Edmonds already?
Yeah, Edmonds is 9 for
me. Okay, sorry. I missed that.
So, like, I really do think it's a big three with the linebackers. Obviously, I'd prioritize one above the other a little bit, but they're all in my top 20. I all think they're great prospects.
Yeah, it really depends on what you want. Edmonds has probably better coverage potential than Evans, but he's further away in terms of being a processor, and he doesn't bring nearly the hitting power or the blitzing ability that Evans offers. So it is very, very much what you want. I have Evans, and I'll get to him in a second. I have him 4 spots ahead of Edmonds. My next 5, though, Ronald Jones, Derwin James, Josh Sweat, Justin Reed, and Anthony Miller. And Miller's my first second-round grade, so Reed is where my first-round grades kind of ended. I like Derwin a lot. Like you
I was going to say, let's talk about Derwin.
Yeah, I like Derwin a lot. You know, I don't think it's anything where I dislike Derwin's game. It's just a matter of kind of value. I don't think he does or he projects to do as many different things as Minka does. But I think he's better probably in pure man coverage as a safety in the slot. Now, I didn't see him match up with like real shifty receivers or good route runners a whole lot of times, so we'll see how he projects to that. I know his agilities weren't that great at his pro day. I mean, I still think he's obviously a very good athlete. I don't think he's a freak that he was billed to be, but he does have great size and great speed, and those are important things too. So I think he's going to be great in the locker room. I think he can play on the back end. I don't know if I like him in single high. Fitzpatrick, I think, has the traits to develop a little different, more than one spot. But if you just needed man coverage in the slot, I would think about Derwin James ahead of Minka Fitzpatrick, but I just like Fitzpatrick more because I think he can do more things, and I think he's more impactful as a run defender. I think Derwin is a very assignment sound run defender, but I think Minka like will lay the wood. He will bring it as a run defender. Like, he closes a lot faster, hits a lot harder. I'm a big fan of hitting power. I think it really adds something to the game. So I like him a little bit more in that way. Derwin will get you on the ground, but it's a little more finesse with him than I think it is with Fitzpatrick.
Derwin's my 3 overall player, so a lot of the things that you mentioned, yeah, he could do, but I'm definitely higher on him developing in that sense, and hopefully not having a defensive coordinator named Charles Kelly teaching him.
That is
him.
A good
so,
point. Charles Kelly is the
21, I have Mike McGlinchey. He's the first offensive tackle there. He's 21. Okay. Josh Sweat is 22.
Okay.
Vita Vea, 23. Josh Jackson, 24. Lamar Jackson, 25. I didn't do that on purpose, but there you go. Jackson, back-to-back.
Okay, all right. I've got Frank Ragnow, number 21, Rashawn Evans, number 22, Austin Corbett from Nevada, number 23, Nick Chubb, number 24, and Billy Price is number 25 for me, for my Austin.
I got Austin Corbett, 44, so you're about 20 spots higher than him.
He is good.
I am.
He is good. Let's just say
I thought you were gonna add an AF at the end.
I was actually going to, but then I was like, you know, should we say that on the pod? And then I was
like, it's a family show, you know.
Let's just be honest, he's good AF.
The show? He's good AF.
He's good AF. Good AF.
26, I have Frank Ragnow.
He's so
27.
Good,
27.
Is Frank Ragnow not so freaking good?
No, he's fun, man. He's a lot of fun.
Is he your top center?
Yes.
You have him ahead of Billy Price and James Daniels?
Yes, I do.
Okay,
we're the same. I mean, and here's the thing with him and Quentin. I mean, like, I have Quentin Nelson my number one overall prospect.
Yeah.
And yet, these guards that are also in there with him, I mean, the next guard is 13 for me. Mm-hmm. The next guard after that is 20, and the next guard after that is 26, right, which it could be here with Ragnow. And so, like, this interior offensive line class is really good. And if anybody were to tell me, hey, I'm passing on Quentin Nelson because I'm trading down and I'm getting one of these other offensive linemen, I would go, okay, fine. Yeah,
right.
You know,
do what I've got do. 7 in my top 32. Wait, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 in my top 32.
I've got another one here. So, but okay, so 26, Frank Ragnow. 27 is Taven Bryan. 28, Ronald Jones. 29, Connor Williams. And I guess I'll just go 32 because it's a weird number. Dallas Goedert is 30. Billy Price, 31. Shaquem Griffin is 32.
Where's Shaquem for me? Hang on. Stand by.
I knew that would be another area that we were very different.
Shaquem is 100 right now. Potentially could add a couple more guys by the end of the day, but he is prospect number 100. So that's probably our biggest difference. I actually kind of like Shaquem too. I just, not as much as you. Nobody likes him as much as you do. Let's be honest. That's your dude.
Fair. It's fair. Him and Nathan Shepard, man. I'm going to be higher on them than other people. I figure Rashawn Evans I would probably be higher on than other people as well. So those are kind of the three that
withstood
the big board test here.
Next for me, did you go to 35?
No, I just went to 32. Oh, I went from 25 to 32.
Okay. Next for me was Billy Price from Ohio State. I might already said him. Tremaine Edmonds from Virginia Tech, number 26 for me on my board. James Daniels, number 27. Vita Vea, number 28. Taven Bryan, number 29. Fred Warner, number 30. Will Hernandez, number 31. And Calvin Ridley, number 32 for me. The only other early day two grades I have are DJ Moore as the next one, Mike Hughes, the corner from UCF, and Sam Darnold. Those guys, Sam Darnold's number 35 on my overall board.
He's 33 for me. Sam Darnold is, folks, Sam Darnold is so much more of a boomer bust prospect than what has been talked about over the last 3 months. Like, I don't know how else to say it. You fall in love with him because he can do a lot of really unorthodox things. And it's fun. It's fun to watch. It's fun to obviously think of what could be with him in your team's uniform, making plays like that, having a highlight reel like that, doing what a lot of other quarterbacks can't do, having an unorthodox style and making it work. Yep. But over the last week or so, I've went and rewatched a bunch of prospects getting ready for this final list, and a lot of them have to do with USC games. And let me tell you, he misses a lot of easy passes, and he also has a lot of interceptable passes. And if you're in the NFL and you're turning the ball over, because the competition level only gets better in the NFL, it only gets faster, and the CBs can only catch better. So if you're throwing turnovers in the NFL, there is only so long that they will put up with you as a starter. Whether you are the rookie number one overall pick or not, if you turn the ball over, you're not going to play. And that worries me a lot with Sam Darnold, because there is a lot that needs to be refined about his game and how he goes through throws and all that kinds of stuff for him to really not be wasting time, not be wasting motion, be able to get the ball faster there than the defenders are going to be. And he's QB4 for me. He's, I think, 33 overall for me.
So you actually have him one spot or two spots higher on your board than me, which is funny because I feel like I'm project him more favorably than you do, but
maybe so.
You would be shooketh to draft him, correct?
Yeah, I would not draft Sam Darnold until the late first round, early second round.
See, when I say Sam Darnold is 35th on my board, and this is a good discussion because this will be where it differs a little bit. I say he's 35th in a vacuum, so it isn't necessarily to me indicative of where he should be drafted, because his positional value will matter to an NFL team.
Well, obviously, yeah.
So I'm not an NFL team. So I would be totally comfortable with him going in the top 10 because of his position. But the fact that he's that low on my board, or, you know, where at that point on my board, indicates to me that he is going to need more work than the guys that are higher. So the landing spot will be more important. The risk is greater. And I have that early day two portion where he's graded at is labeled strong starter for me. So that's still what I think of him. If you're a strong starter at guard, you might go in the early day two range. If you're a strong starter at quarterback, you go in the top 10. And that's just kind of how it works.
Right.
So that's a difference maybe in some ways. And a lot of people do apply positional value and to quarterbacks, and they will push them up their board because of it. Even though, you know, who's your couple guys right under Sam Darnold?
Justin Reed, Calvin Ridley, Daron Payne.
So you may think those guys, and correct me if I'm wrong, are better at their positions right now than Sam Darnold, but because Darnold plays quarterback, you have him a couple spots ahead of them. Is that
fair? I try to do that as little as possible. Okay. Like I try to go like football player. Like, and obviously there is an importance to the game that you can't deny. So I guess, yeah, like that is in there a little bit, but I try to go as best as I can, like football player. And so like when it comes to talent and the things that you are asked to do at your position, when you weigh up talent, like how much you're asked and all that kinds of stuff, I think that goes into it.
Sure.
That's why like so many guards can make it high because they're really good football players. And they're good at what they do. And then like you have a guy like Sam Darnold who's kind of sitting here at like 33, but I'm not naive to the fact that Sam Darnold does a lot more around the game than those guys do.
Sure.
So I try to not too much, but you can't totally get rid of it. So I guess that's my answer there.
Very interesting. Very interesting. How about
guys like spotting around who you might find it interesting in different spots on the big board?
Okay, so guys that I am lower on than the consensus / big media / the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
The fourth to last player, 171 on my board, is Tim Settle. We've talked at length about.
I mean, he's not on my board. I only have a top 100. So
you only have guys that could actually make it in the NFL.
You know.
Sorry. Hercules Mataafa from Washington State is 169, nice, on my board. So Desmond Harrison, the tackle from West Georgia, I know some people are high on him. He is 167 on my board. Darius Leonard, the linebacker from South Carolina State.
Hold on. Desmond Harrison is
bad, yes.
53 for me.
Oh, shoot. Why is he 53 for you?
Because he's my third-ranked offensive tackle, dude. We went over this 2 days ago.
I know. I blacked it out, honestly, because it was such a bad take. I just... Darius Leonard is one spot ahead of Desmond Harrison. I just don't understand where the hype comes from with him. Kiki Kute, some people like him in day two. He's one spot ahead of Leonard.
I saw you talking to somebody on Twitter about it. I can't remember who it was. And they were kind of like standing for him. And you were like, come on, man. That dude can fit in my pocket. Like,
this is the reality, man. He's
like, come on. What are you talking about? An NFL player here? He can fit in my pocket.
Yeah, he's fast. But I mean, yeah, Jakeem Grant was fast. What's he doing? You know, I mean, he's okay. He's a role, but I don't know. I'm not taking him high. That's for sure. Luke Falk is 162 on my board. I'm guessing you didn't rank him because you only rank good players.
Not a chance.
Good thinking by you. By the way, Mel Kiper does not have Marcel Aitman on his board. Talk about savage. And he does it. He has 41 ranked receivers and he's not among them. 41! I am slain. How do you... 41 receivers in this garbage class.
I wonder what he has James Washington ranked as.
Oh my goodness. No, don't get me wrong. Marcel Aitman's 160 on my board and I only have 174 guys ranked right now. Probably will finish at like 180. He's not good. There's no doubt about that. I just can't believe that he... I mean, that's like abysmally low. That's like... If you have 41 receivers at least ahead of him, how many are going to get drafted? 25, 30? So he's not even a priority free agent for you, probably. Like, no. You don't even think Marcel Aitman deserves to be talked about as a prospect. That's so sad.
As a human being.
Not even as a human. Just wants nothing to do with him. Kicked him to the curb.
The words Marcel and Aitman shouldn't even be in the same sentence.
It is a terrible last name, let's be honest. Not good.
Aitman's a fine last name for a giant wide receiver. You know, I'm all right with it.
He ate him, man. Can you see the play-by-play guy and everybody just rolling their eyes?
Okay, I just did it.
It's setting a play-by-play guy up for
failure. Putting that into the universe.
Listen, tell me that wasn't... That was going to be used if Aitman would ever play down in the NFL, which according to Mel Kiper...
What in my world until you just said it, so now I blame you.
Okay, well, blame me if you want. But Jerron Christian is a Mel Kiper truther, or I guess Mel Kiper is a Jerron Christian fan because he has him like going in the first round and crap. Well, he's 159 on my board, so I don't know. You probably didn't even rank him, did you?
No.
Still only good players. What about Kalen Ballage? He's 155 for me.
No, I don't have him in the top 100.
Okay, all right. You are a savage. Holy crap. I'm glad that you only have good players in the top 100, though, other than Desmond Harrison. Jeff Holland, 145. Whew, he fell, man.
Nope.
His testing was horrendous. How about Rasheem Green, second rounder? He's going to go in the second round. You don't even have him? 138.
Nope.
Wow. You're tough. He's 138 for me, so I guess. Lorenzo Carter, 131 for me. Harrison Phillips, 130.
Lorenzo Carter is... I'm way higher on Lorenzo Carter than everybody else. Not everybody Lorenzo Carter is 48 for me.
Our boy Josh Norris has him in like 23 or something like that.
I think Lorenzo Carter is really freaking good. Or he's like terrible. At least can be.
He's terrible. He doesn't know what he's doing. He is a great athlete and he is a large person. I will say that about him.
That's all I need.
Is that you're a great coach.
Nobody gets coached in college, dude.
Nobody gets coached in the NFL.
Who gets coached in college?
Nobody gets coached in the NFL, though. Nobody gets coached at all. It's a myth. Wow.
Now we're at something. Who are some of the guys that I'm higher on than most?
Yeah, let's do that instead because I hate everyone.
Well, this will trigger you. Bo Scarborough's 41.
Wait, I'll find where he is on mine.
Okay.
Bo, looking at the bottom. 150.
Okay.
Okay.
Jalen Holmes.
What about Puna Ford?
I don't have him.
I have him over Bo Scarborough.
Okay. Jalen Holmes is 59 for me.
Not on my board.
Okay.
Well, he will be on my board though. So I would guess he won't be anywhere near that high, but.
Is anybody else? Jannard Avery's 63 for me. I don't know if that's like.
He is actually a decent other half for me. 59 or 58.
Okay, there we go. So we're somewhat similar on that one. Antonio Callaway is 56 for me.
He's on my board, but not that high. He is 123.
Okay. You've watched more dudes than me, so this is like...
What about Courtland Sutton? Where's Courtland Sutton for you?
Oh, let me look. Hold on. 45.
45? He is 98 for me.
Okay.
That's probably the ranking I have that will trigger the most people. Sorry, go ahead.
Auden Tate is 100 for me. He's that 100th guy. He's the final dude.
He is going to get added to this board. I watched, I watched him play against Duke Dawson last night. And I was like, this guy can still play. He may have tested.
Auden Tate can play, folks. He can
definitely play. He can definitely play.
Don't get Tease Tabor syndrome.
Do I feel great about taking a 6'5", 228-pound wide receiver who ran a 4.68, which is slow, but it would be fine if he could jump and separate. He jumped 31 inches. So, I mean, we have to take into account that this man is a horrendous athlete for his position. So I'm not taking him high. Sorry. You can tell we've gotten very little sleep and the filter is quickly falling off.
You're saying this from a computer chair.
Yes,
sir.
Very much. You wouldn't say this to his face. You can see the people on Twitter. You wouldn't say this to his face. I mean,
he can read the article, I guess, if he wants.
Would I, though? He didn't do the bench, so afraid to be great. He also, at his pro day, you ready for this?
I'm not.
20-yard shuttle, 4.58. 7.373 cone. He must have fallen down doing the agilities. This guy got snipered from the top deck. He is not a good athlete at all. But I do think he has ball skills. I do think, he can't jump, but he didn't re-jump at his pro day either. You jumped 31 inches, dude. Your whole game is predicated on winning in the air.
And nah,
you don't
solid,
re-jump
dude.
At your pro day?
You don't get no better than solid, baby.
Solid, my friend. He is in the sixth percentile. No, sorry, the seventh percentile.
Better than fifth. Bless up, dude.
And yes, that's true. It is better. It is not very good. So maybe he's a tight end. But I still think maybe. I mean, even for a tight end, that's terrible. You know what? Even for a nose tackle, I bet he doesn't test that well. Let's look. We can compare him via mock draftable to nose tackles, interior defensive line, his vertical jump. Oh, it's in the 71st percentile. So
hell yeah, yeah, baby.
If on Tate played nose tackle.
Let's go.
So nose tackle Auden Tate will be added to my board because I am a glutton for punishment and getting wrong, being wrong on players. I can't see the NFL taking him before the fifth. I mean, those are horrendous numbers, and it isn't like he lit the world on fire at Florida State. I can't believe he's that bad of an athlete. That's amazing to me. I didn't think he was a great athlete, but that is horrible. We were talking about him in the first round, dude.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. That's nuts. Anyway, carry on.
No, it's about it.
Carry on. Where's Carry On Johnson for you? He's one of the most polarizing players, I think.
I think he's like 65, I think.
He is 46th for me, so I like him a little bit more, maybe.
Oh, yeah, you like him a lot.
Last guy, Colton Miller, the most polarizing player other than Josh Allen.
Colton Miller is, so like, remember, my board goes to 100.
He is 100.
And he is, hold please, we're loading. We're getting the buffering screen. Oh no. I think he's like 96.
Okay. He is, you know what I'm just realizing? I don't think I forgot to put Josh Allen's grade on this board. Colton
Where's
Miller.
Where's Josh Allen for you?
Well, that's a good question. I don't, he's not on this board. Colton Miller's 120 for me.
Okay.
Yeah,
he's 95. It just loaded.
Okay. I think I forgot to add Josh Allen to this board. So bump everybody below him down a spot. Yeah, I forgot to put him on this board. That's so weird.
Josh Allen's like 70s for me. I can't remember where he was.
He will be in that same range for me. Hang on, I'll tell you in a second. Josh like Allen. 70s. 71.3. He will be somewhere from, and I have to just sit down and meet out the tiebreakers. He'll be somewhere from, I don't know. He'll be in the 70s, yeah. Somewhere from Gesicki to MJ Stewart down here. So, yeah, I have to add him to the board. I almost submitted the board without him on it. That would have been really, that would have caused people to really lose their marbles, huh? Where's Josh Allen? You don't even have him ranked. We're going to take him in the first round. All right, there you go. There's a shot at our big boards and what they look like ending the draft. Tomorrow, our final mock draft goes live. It is going to be sweet and beautiful, folks, because we have been digging around, and I can really safely, strongly say that Trevor and I know at least 80% of what will happen in the NFL draft exactly as it will unfold.
Pretty low. I would have gone with 98.
Oh, maybe there's some things you haven't told me yet then. So we are pretty sure that we can predict the first round within somewhere between 80 and 98% success rate. So tomorrow morning, make sure you stay tuned for that. We'll have coverage right after the first round, coverage after the day two, coverage after day three. We're going to have you covered throughout the entire week for every step of the draft process. So keep it locked right here on Locked On NFL Draft.